Thank you very much.
It works, it's just
Hi, everybody. My name is Rachel Hart Malloy, and today I will be talking about a methodology for estimating the prevalence of hepatitis C in New York State. And I, as well, have no financial relationships to this clause. I'm going to give some background and some purpose behind this study, give the methodology of the study, followed with a summary of the results, conclusions, and then end with some discussion and some questions. Hepatitis C is estimated to be the most common chronic bloodborne infection in the U.S. today, with over half unaware of their status. We rely on estimates of prevalence due to inherent issues with screening technologies, target screening recommendations, and scarce resources for surveillance. At the national level, our most reliable estimate of hepatitis C prevalence of both hep C antibody positivity and chronic prevalence comes from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, as I'm sure most of you are familiar with the NHANES study, in which they sample and test a nationally representative group. This study actually excludes institutionalized, active military, and homeless populations in their sample. Currently, prior to this study, an overall prevalence estimate in New York State was unknown. Having estimates of prevalence at the state level are useful for a variety of reasons, ranging from understanding populations at highest risk of infection, targeting and evaluating prevention measures, such that Randy presented on, directing counseling messages, projecting future health care needs, and estimating current and future costs associated with treating hep C. And so the purpose of this study was to estimate the prevalence of antibody positive and chronic prevalence in New York State. So I designed a quantitative extrapolation of anti-HCV and chronic HCV from NHANES for those ages 20 and older. I define anti-HCV as those who are antibody positive for hepatitis C, which means that they've ever been infected with hep C. It doesn't denote a current infection. I define chronic HCV as being positive for RNA or currently infected with hep C. I also defined subgroups of interest, which are population groups considered to have differing prevalence for extrapolation purposes. So I did two different analyses. One, I started with estimating the anti-HCV prevalence, and then I did a separate analysis for estimating the chronic HCV prevalence. So to begin, I determined subgroups of interest among the non-institutionalized civilian population, which is the NHANES population. I conducted predictive modeling on 10 years of NHANES data, and I determined age, race, ethnicity, gender, and poverty level status to be sociodemographics predictive of positivity. I then generated a cross-tabulation of those variables and considered those to be subgroups of interest. Since NHANES does not include incarcerated, hospitalized, nursing home residents, active military, and the homeless, and because we know from the literature that the prevalence within these populations differs from the general population, all of these groups were considered subgroups of interest. I then determined the anti-HCV prevalence for those subgroups. So for the non-institutionalized civilian population, I again used NHANES, and I determined the proportion positive within each of those cross-tabulations to be an individual probability of positivity. For the excluded populations, I conducted a literature review and used pooled prevalence from those studies. I then extrapolated the anti-HCV prevalence to the underlying size of those sociodemographic subgroups by region in New York State. So again, this is for the institutionalized civilian population only at this point. For that, to get the underlying size, I use what's called public use microdata, which is a representative sample of the American Community Survey. To give you an example and demonstrate what I did for this group, I first determined the anti-HCV prevalence for one sociodemographic subgroup. These are made-up numbers. I multiplied it by the underlying size of that subgroup to come up with a theoretical number of individuals living with anti-HCV within that subgroup. I repeated this within all levels of all sociodemographic subgroups by region in New York State. For the excluded populations, I took the anti-HCV prevalence determined from the literature review. Do I go back? Can I use this one? Sorry. So I took the pooled prevalence and I applied it to the underlying size of those subgroups, and I determined the underlying size from various state-specific sources listed here on this slide. I then repeated this analysis, but for chronic HCV prevalence. And so this is really a repeat slide, and I'm just going to highlight what was done differently, for looking at chronic HCV as compared to anti-HCV estimations. And for this, I used fewer years of NHANES data. They did not start testing for chronic HCV and NHANES until 2003, so the number of years I used in the predictive model were fewer. Also, within the literature, there are fewer studies that look at chronic HCV within those excluded populations, so I applied a proportion to the pooled prevalence to come up with a chronic prevalence for those groups. So when looking at the general population, the non-institutionalized civilian population ages 20 and up, I found an anti-HCV prevalence of 1.64. This is over 200,000 persons estimated to have ever been infected with Hep C in New York State. Prevalence was higher in New York City among males, among those 50 to 59, non-Hispanic blacks, and those living below the poverty line. To give a geographic description of what's happening, on the left-hand side of this slide is the percent anti-HCV positive. It's the full state, and then New York City is enlarged right below that. And then on the right-hand side is the number that are estimated to be anti-HCV positive, again with an enlargement of New York City. So when looking, the darker the color, the higher the prevalence. So here, the percent anti-HCV positive, the higher prevalence found in New York City, and specifically in Queens and Brooklyn. And then when you look at the number anti-HCV positive, you see that's what we call our 90 corridor, so places around metropolitan areas had a larger burden when it came to actual number. This is a breakdown in table form of the estimated anti-HCV prevalence, again, among the general population ages 20 and up, the total being 1.6 on the top, and then by region and sociodemographics as you go down the table. So in New York City, 1.8%, males close to 2.1%, among the 50 to 59, 3.83%, and then those below poverty, 2.8%, and non-Hispanic blacks, close to 3.1%. When I supplemented this with the excluded populations, I estimated over an additional 50,000 persons to be anti-HCV positive. This increases the prevalence to 1.95%. The anti-HCV prevalence for the excluded populations from the literature reviews did range quite significantly, with over 30% in the incarcerated and homeless, down to less than 1% in the active military. So the only group with a lower prevalence than the general population here was active military. So again, in table form, breaking this out by subgroups of interest with the total on top, with the non-institutionalized civilian at 1.64, and then within the various subgroups excluded from NHANES sampling in the lower part of this table. When looking at chronic HCV prevalence for non-institutionalized civilian individuals ages 20 and up, I estimated close to 160,000 persons estimated to be living with hepatitis C in New York State. This is a prevalence of 1.1%. Prevalence was higher in the same regions and sociodemographic subgroups as those for anti-HCV. Again, in map form, you see that these look very similar to the anti-HCV prevalence maps as would be expected, with some higher numbers seen now in Manhattan and the Bronx. In table form, again, just to break down in New York City, chronic prevalence of 1.45, higher among males at 1.5%, higher among those ages 50 and older at close to 2.9, non-Hispanic blacks at 2.46, and those below the poverty line at 2.03. When looking at the excluded populations, it added close to 40,000 additional cases, which increased the estimated overall chronic HCV prevalence to 1.33%. Again, the breakdown for excluded populations, same range of percentages, so higher among the incarcerated and the homeless. In table form, again, just to break this down, a total prevalence of 1.33%, and then by the different subgroups of interest as well. So in conclusion, the anti-HCV and chronic HCV prevalence that was found in this study is actually higher than what's found in NHANES. But we believe that this is, myself and my colleagues believe that this is actually an underestimate of the prevalence in New York State. For one reason, injection drug use behavior was not captured, and Randy gave a great presentation and demonstrated that 56% prevalence within the methadone treatment clinic is actually lower than we expect, so we're not capturing the highest risk group for Hep C positivity. Also, the underlying size of the homeless population, we believe, is probably an underestimate because of inherent issues with identifying the underlying size of the homeless population. We believe that this is evidence in support of standardizing and strengthening the current Hep C surveillance system, and we believe that infrastructure needs to be in place to support, at minimum, the estimated number of cases that we found in this study. Several strengths of this study include this being the first attempt to quantify both diagnosed and undiagnosed anti-HCV and chronic HCV cases for the entire state of New York. We also think the use of NHANES data is a strength as it's an opportunity to capitalize on 10 years of data that utilizes consistent sampling and lab testing. We also believe a strength of this study is the supplementing the information with the excluded populations that were not sampled in the NHANES study. Also, the public use microdata allows us to get a very timely and accurate estimate of the underlying size of by sociodemographic profile in New York State. Some limitations of this study are that persons might be counted in more than one of these subgroups. We also did not include county jails as part of the incarcerated population because of the transient nature and also the concern about double counting those either in the general public or within the state prison system. Also, we used national prevalence and seroprevalence studies and extrapolated that to New York State, and that might not be an accurate portrayal. I've had many people helping me along the way, and just to acknowledge a few, and specifically my doctoral dissertation committee, Colleen Flanagan, Drs. Alvaro Carrascal, Greg DiRienzo, Christy McClamrock, and Lou Smith. Any questions?
Thank you. Questions? Since you had so many incarcerated people for your geographic mapping purposes, where were they treated? Their prior residents or where they were incarcerated?
They're actually not in the maps, unfortunately. I'm not able to get their residence, so that's just the non-institutionalized civilian mapping. That's a good question.
I know you summed up lots of different groups, but on average, what proportion did you end up estimating of the antibody positives were chronic inverted?
I used what they found in NHANES, which was 73%. I actually applied that to the prevalence and also for the excluded populations, but NHANES was 73%.
So, Doug Dietrich has done a lot of work on the international population in New York City, and I wondered sort of how do you think about incorporating persons who
country
are
of birth.
Origins and higher ethnicity?
I looked at country of birth. Couldn't get it all into the slides, but I did look at country of birth, and country of birth was predictive of positivity, but it was actually foreign-born were less likely to be antibody positive than U.S.-born. They collapse within different levels, and it really didn't speak to what we know to be higher prevalence regions, and so it broke it down, I think, Mexican, other, and then other Spanish-speaking countries of origin. So, I think it's important to look at, and we weren't able to with the NHANES strata. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if there's any way at all to try to incorporate any of these data, like say, does New York State have a publisher department? Is there available data, or is the data just
So we do actually have two separate surveillance systems, which makes looking and making that comparison somewhat difficult. I am in the process of merging the surveillance systems and the registries from New York State and New York City to come up with a number. It's without deduplicating between the two systems, there's about 120,000 determined to be anti-HCV positive, so surveillance is already an underestimate. In addition to this study, I'm also looking at estimating the past incidence using a back calculation methodology and projecting forward in time to come up with a point prevalence in 2008 as a comparison. So that's kind of my triangulation, if you will. I have. In New York State, we actually did do a matching of the registry and found quite a low number. It was about 8% for Hep C, HIV, and Hep B triple co-infection. So that was really the starting off point, but I would like to examine some way of putting this all together. Absolutely. Thank you.